Hi everybody, Azit from Quiddity Property Education. So in this series, I'm going to talk specifically about one strategy which everybody over the last kind of 15 years or so have got into, which is House of Multiple Occupation, HMO. So what is a HMO? For those of you new to property investment, HMO is when you buy a house, you convert it into multiple rentable units. So think of a three-bedroom house with two reception rooms that you convert into five lettable rooms. So how do people make money out of this? Well, the idea being that instead of renting the house as a three-bedroom house for £1,000, you should be able to rent the unit, so each room, let's say at around £500. So five times five, £2,500. Okay, so that sounds great, but ultimately you're providing a service to these tenants, and the service is they pay one fee and everything's included. So what is included? It will be gas, electricity, water, council tax, everything that happens to the house you have to provide as the landlord. So in terms of actually the strategy, so why does HMO actually work? Well, typically bought at the right price, so the property purchase is right, and the conversion doesn't cost you an arm and a leg. Actually, the rent, especially in places like London, city centre like Bristol, Birmingham, the rent should be a lot higher. So the idea being that if you buy low and then you're reducing your cost of development to convert it into five, six, seven bedroom HMOs, the yield should be higher. So that's advantage number one. Typically, if you buy the same house, instead of renting to one family for a buy-to-let and you do a HMO, your yield on the money that you've put in should be higher. Second, you're actually spreading your risk, because instead of having one tenant who doesn't pay and then you're out of money, you could potentially be having five or six or eight people paying you rent. So even if one is late, you are spreading the risk of actually being out of pocket for a few months. Third, there's clearly rising demand. Given the situation where we're at, we find ourselves in properties in the UK, there's way too many people, not enough houses. Actually, we're finding that landlords have been squeezed for the last, well, 8-9 years, since 2017 and Section 24. That has completely compressed the amount of buy-to-let that's available in the market. That, as well, on top of that, that the rents have surged post-COVID, that has opened up a market that's significant for people to use HMO as their first stepping step from leaving the family home, if you like. So there is a huge rise in demand. So you have higher yield, as long as you buy right and you pay less money. You can spread your risk of income because you've got more tenants sharing the cost of that HMO. And you've got a situation where you've got more people than actually property available, and some of them are going into HMO. In terms of disadvantages, well, sit back and let me tell you some of this stuff. So just to put a context, I've been doing this now, me and my team, we've been running HMOs for 15 years. And in the last 15 years, we've gone from netting somewhere around £1,200 per HMO for the same HMO. And later on in this show, I'm going to talk about the cost itself. But we've gone from £1,200 of profit per month per HMO to, that's drastically come down to somewhere around £200-£300. Sometimes we're losing money, and I will explain why later on. So in terms of disadvantages, first and foremost, regulation. Heavy, heavy regulation, changing all the time, and you really need to be on top of it. What are the typical regulations that you need to adhere to? First is the fire regs. So you've got to make sure that your property is signed off by and is fire safe. So what does that mean? You have to have interlinking smoke alarms in each unit, in each of the rooms. You need to have them then interlink with the hallways. And if you've got a cellar, you've also got to link it with the cellar. You've got to make sure that you block up the cellar with fire-rated plasterboard and you skim it, because if that's a source of exit, you need to make sure that's safe. The other thing you've got to do is you have to have thumb turn locks on your fire doors and door closers on each fire doors. Next, you need to make sure that you have your amenities, that's right. If you've got 5, 6, 7 people, there is a calculation that the government has produced, that minimum standard for HMOs, depending on the number of people that's in that HMO that you need to adhere to. So there's a space of worktop that you need to provide per number of housemates that's in that house. You need to provide enough toilets and bathroom in each house. So typically, the regulation is quite high to jump on, over. Next, there's the planning issue. So as HMO have gained a lot more ground in the last 10 years or so, lots of councils have been introducing things called Article 4 directives, where they reduce or they ask HMO providers to apply for full planning permission. So before, or if they are not in an Article 4, you don't have to have planning permission request to do it up to a 6-bed HMO. Once you tip over to a 7-bed HMO, you need to go to full planning. And that becomes another hurdle to jump on, another costly hurdle to jump on. So on top of that, you need to have regulation, licensing, you need to have the management in place so that weekly you're doing the fire safety checks, so you are providing, you are physically going there to check nobody's blocking the fire safe fire doors, they've not left things in the hallways as a fire exit route. So you've got to then have a management process of who's doing that and who's signing off, because if something does come to sadly happen, you will be liable if you haven't got a process in place to manage this HMO well, and people unfortunately lose their lives or whatever else come, you know, because ultimately these are 5, 6, 7 people who don't know each other. A fire breaks, they don't know who's at home, who's not at home, and that's why you have to have these interlinking smoke alarms. In terms of other challenges with HMOs, my other one is the cost of developing HMO. So typically I found in the last 15 years or so, we have our own team in-house, so we buy it, we've been developing it ourselves. But typically I see lots of people on social media paying hundreds of thousands of pounds to convert a 3-bedroom house into a 5 or 6-bed HMO. Typically, in my opinion, it's the builders that make the most money nowadays on HMO, because they're selling you these packages to spend £100,000, let's say, to convert 5, 6 rooms into fancy 6-room ensuite HMOs. Now, the challenge is as follows. You've spent £100,000 already on buying the place at, say, let's say £75,000 on deposit, stamp duty, that's £100,000 of your cash parked. Then you spend another £100,000 on your development costs. So already you're in for £200,000 of sunk costs. So costs that you're not going to see for a while now. So then they sell you the idea that you're going to make about £1,000 to £1,500 a month net. So let's say you make £1,000, that's £12,000 a year. Let's say you make £1,500 a month, that's £18,000 a year. Now think logically, how many £18,000 you're going to need to pay off your £200,000 investment? Well, math will tell you logically, it's over 10 years. So please, when you are thinking about HMO and you are putting your cost in your head, this is the biggest one that you, and I find lots of people who then come to mentor with me around title split, they said to me, do you know what? I spent £200,000 and it's taking me 10 years to get my money, my initial investment back. It's only after 10 years you start to make profit, which is crazy. So HMO for me, it is time consuming, management heavy, regulation heavy. The tenant turnover is also quite typical of this property investment strategy, because typically 6 months to 12 months, your tenant turnover will be. So you're literally like a hotel, you convey about, you need to keep finding new tenants. Sometimes you have 2 or 3 weeks in between tenants. So, people have left, you've got to renovate again. So the cost of all of these become quite unsurmountable over time. Once we got 150 odd rooms on rent, the cost is astronomical. So you've got to make sure that you understand the utilization rates of your rental properties. So typically we will work very hard. We've got 4 property managers full-time look at HMOs. We are working full-time trying to achieve 95% utilization rate of each room. And even then, that's proving hard. So if you're doing it on the side as a moonlighting, how much time are you going to be able to dedicate so that you can achieve at least 90% of the time that needs to be rented, rent on these units? So your utilization rate is absolutely critical for you to be profitable. So in terms of HMO, who should not be investing? Quite frankly, you should not be investing if you think you're going to make £1,500, £2,000 a month without having looked at the initial investment cost. So if you are thinking about going into it, look at how much deposit you're going to need and include your stamp duty and your legals in it. Let's say that's £100,000. Then look at what you're buying or you're being asked to buy, or you know, you don't even need somebody to tell you what to buy. But let's say you buy a 3-bedroom to convert into 5-bed, and now the big trend is 5-bed en suite. Calculate how much that's going to cost. Let's say it's £100,000. So you're in it for, again, £200,000 worth of cost. Well, you should not be going into HMO if that is your capital, because ultimately you're going to make £1,800 a month, £1,500 a month, £18,000 a year on a £200,000 investment, which is a very, very low return on your money, let alone all the regulation and all the management I've talked about. So this £1,800 also, by the way, does not include management. Management, the estate agent will ask you, will be more than 10% that they would normally ask to do a typical buy-to-let management. So typically you're around 15% of your rent. So do not go into it if you think you're going to be making gold. One, do not go into it if you don't have time to manage them. Do not go into it if you think it's just a case of buying a 3-bedroom house, slap dashing some doors in it, and then walking away from it and making lots of money. You've got to go into it with your eyes open, and hopefully after this episode of the podcast, you should be able to then find out all the costs that's involved in running a HMO, which I will share with you next, and that will then hopefully open your eyes to some of the challenges that you may be facing going forward. So in terms of cost now, I asked one of my property managers to run an analysis on 10 of our HMOs. And what I wanted to understand was, in the last year or so, how have the costs changed? And quite frankly, we haven't done it for a while. So given the fact that 2021, I think it was, Liz Truss broke the economy and interest rate went up to 7%, coming from 3.75%. So mortgages have doubled. Right now we are in April 2025. The fixed rate mortgage is around 5.5% for investors. Yes, that is slated to go down over the next 12 months or so, given the inflation has been stagnant and we've got Trump on one side breaking the whole world economy. So I think to avoid a recession, Bank of England will be dropping interest rate at least 0.25 each time over the next quarter or so. But we live in a world of today. Today is 5.5%, and the cost I'm going to give you, what is costing us to run typically our HMOs, are as follows. So let's take a cost. Let's take a list of the costs that you can expect to be paying if you are going into a HMO strategy. First and foremost, you're going to have to pay your mortgage. So typically, I still run everything on an interest-only mortgage. And in other episodes, I'll explain why I do that and how do I pay the mortgages. But for now, we're going to go through the list of costs that we have to pay. Mortgage, gas, electricity, water, council tax is on you as well. So council tax just increased by 10% across the board for all councils. So that's an extra 10%. If you think that the rents have gone up about 3%, 4%, just council tax have gone up by 10%. Gas, electricity, and water since the Ukraine war, post-COVID, have trebled. So typically, we used to pay £1,200 on a HMO on average. Now, it went up to £3,600. It's come back down to around £2,700 on average for these utilities. So gas, electricity, water, council tax. The next cost you have to provide is broadband. So typically, we go for the business broadband, which are bit more money than the average broadband because you've got 5-6 people, and what you don't want to do is to have people complaining about broadband speed. Insurance, landlord insurance, more money usually than a buy-to-let rental. Maintenance is the funny one, because that's the one that is really hard to plan, depending on how many you've got, how old they are, how many leaking en suites you're going to have. But typically, we've put in around £300 per month on an average HMO. Then cleaning costs, white good replacements, management costs, again, between 10 to 15%. We have our own in-house management, so it's a little bit less money. Deposit protection team charges if we are registering and insuring the deposit. Licensing for 5 years. We take the 5-year licensing cost and divide it by 60 months to get a monthly cost. The fire risk assessment cost, as well as the cost of getting the smoke alarm tested each year, getting the EICRs every 5 years, getting the gas cert every year, and then you get things like TV licensing, etc., etc. So all of these costs amount to a lot of money. And if you don't know these costs and you don't know how much they cost, it might be that you are going into it blind and you will find that you are ending up making less than £1,500 a month, more like £700-£800 a month. Why am I showing this? Well, actually, you know, after this analysis, we've decided that to start to shrink our portfolio of HMOs. Why? Because quite frankly, they are becoming far less profitable than they were 10 years ago. And also repatriating the time spent on management on things that are, quite frankly, unprofitable doesn't make sense. So this year, our target is to start to halve our exposure to HMOs, repurpose the house, keep the house, don't sell the properties, keep the house, repurpose them into 3, 4, 5 bedroom houses that will now rent to families. And why do I do that? Actually, when we've done the analysis, instead of losing money or making £100-£200 by spending hours managing those HMOs, we'll end up making £300-£400, putting a family in place and carving and not paying any of the other costs, the gas, electricity, water, council tax, broadband, nothing like that. And we'll still actually be more profitable by repurposing the house into a family home. So I hope that's giving you a good flavor of what HMOs in 2025 looks like. Why? For some people, it might work out. If you're buying bulk, you're buying low prices, you can get your renovation low and you can get your prices as high as possible. I think the average rent in London is around £700 to £1,000, depending on the Hackney. We're renting around £1,200 a room to £500 is the average. So if you are able to understand the figures, have the money sat in your bank to leave and make £1,500 a month, £18,000 a year on a £200,000 investment, then probably that's maybe that work for you. But please go into it with your eyes open based on the regulation and all the challenges that I've outlined below. If you've got any questions, you can always DM us, leave notes or comments on the show notes, and we'll get back to you. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.